Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you make. It's really important to me that the information you get from me is relevant to your life and is information that you can trust. And that's why I need your feedback. If I come up short for you, if I let you down, if you feel the information I'm giving is not on the money, I need for you to go to Clark.com and post on our Clark Stinks message board and let me know where it is I came up short. And then each week, our producer, Krista, goes through all the posts on Clark Stinks and shares highlights of some of the posts with you right here on the air.
I should have never encouraged you to speak.
You must think I'm pretty stupid.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're right, pal.
What's up, Krista?
What's up is daylight stealing time. I love you, man, but you really need to set your alarm clock earlier if you crave sun during winter months. You are positively giddy every year as daylight stealing time approaches. Those of us who have to get up early to go to work know that you must be sleeping in every morning. On 3:10, sunrise occurred at 6:41 a.m., and on 3:11, 7:40 a.m. If you do not notice the sun comes up later after daylight stealing time, you must be sleeping in. You really torque those of us who get up early when you don't acknowledge the sunlight we lose. I will spend the entire month of April in the dark because of daylight stealing time.
Well, I actually get up between about 5:50 in the morning and 6:30. So I've had daylight stolen from me as well in the morning. And, you know, I got to get the kids up and ready for school and make their breakfast and all that. And so I'm up like you are. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, having all that sunlight just brings joy to me like you just can't imagine. And so for me, there's an intensity about having daylight that means I should do just what I've said, live Northern Hemisphere during our summer and live Southern Hemisphere during our winter.
Or just stay on the equator. Although
well, then
you wouldn't get the extremes. Yes,
yeah, I'd rather have max daylight every day.
I don't get your push for electric cars, but no, we need them. If America gets most of its electricity from coal with natural gas, oil, and nuclear, are we being honest about electric cars? Are they coal-powered cars? Nuclear-powered cars? As you know, almost all electricity comes from fossil fuels. So to be honest, please. Would like to see each green person have their own solar array that would power their electric car? We are not there yet. Thanks, Paul S.
Paul, that is a great post. Now, let me share some things with you. Coal is down to about 30% of the energy we use in the country. Natural gas, 32%. I think nuclear is 20%. And the rest are various forms of renewables. But the thing is, electric cars, because of the incredible efficiency of the electric motors, get the equivalent of massive improvements in fuel economy. My car gets an EPA-rated equivalent of 132 miles per gallon. So even though electric cars are still getting roughly, maybe two-thirds of the energy across the country is coming from traditional fuels, not renewables, that number is going to continue to improve, but right off the bat, versus the average fuel economy, what's known as CAFE, the average fuel economy, electric cars get 5 times the miles out of a unit of energy that gas engine vehicles do.
Dear Clark, I'd refer to you as Mr. Howard, but I feel you have cleverly tricked us all into making us believe we're insulting you by using an honorific. Somewhat like a backhanded compliment, maybe Sir Stinky should cover it. Anyway,
I like that.
I tried out Credit Karma Tax last year, and it was missing a few things I needed, so I paid the piper and used TurboTax for the first time in a decade. I was and currently am a self-employed software engineer with a solo 401k. Thanks for that advice, by the way. And an HSA from my wife and myself, and have rental properties where I have to divide up the income between my wife and myself. Suffice it to say, CKT was not set up for all the forms I needed. This year, they were able to, or so I thought. I happened to live in a rarefied air, as you would say, and my complicated tax situation was too much for them to handle. It's just not up to standards, and you should warn your listeners away from it. It had me owing over $10,000 in tax to the federal government, and in my own time, filling out paper forms on my own, I will get a small refund. I tried to use the online forms using the IRS's free fillable forms, but they don't allow me to send a personal statement that I need this year. It's just not there yet. Mr. Peterson, Portland, Oregon. P.S. We don't refer to ourselves as techies. I'd prefer rather fortunate individuals.
Okay. Rather fortunate individual, Mr. Peterson. You are in a situation that I would not do my own income tax. You are at a point now where you've had enough financial success that even though I'm going to have you pay, I would like you to consider hiring a CPA who does tax. You have enough things going on that a CPA who does tax may be able to do some tax planning with you that will lower your overall tax liability and would actually give you benefits beyond what you would have to pay in the bills for his or her services. I think you're past self-service at this point.
Clark, I'm insulted. During your rant about signing up for free trials that require a credit card, you totally missed an easy solution that I not only already informed you about, but that you read on the air and praised me about, calling me a genius. Please reread the last paragraph in my post here, and I've pulled that paragraph. They were talking about Amazon gift cards. Your Amazon gift card balance never expires and Amazon doesn't whittle it away with BS fees, and then you've immediately cleared out the card to which you no longer need to hold on to. But don't throw it away. That emptied gift card still has an incredibly useful purpose still. Anytime I need to sign up for a service with a free trial that will eventually start charging me, so they require you to enter in a credit card info to get started, instead of trying to remember to cancel in a month or several, I just use that zero balance Visa/MasterCard gift card to sign up. They don't know the difference, and I'm safe from ever forgetting or the service trying to weasel in unexpected charges.
You are brilliant, and I'm a flake, because that is a perfect answer to free trial offers, and I won't forget again.
Dear Clark, I listened as you talked with a young man who was considering making only the minimum payments on his student loans totaling over $200,000, and then in 20 years having the loans forgiven. Although you encouraged him to continue making the payments, I was hoping for a bit more. I was hoping you would talk about personal integrity and responsibility. When he took out the loans, it was a means to achieving his dreams. The money was available at a price, which he agreed to. He is now living his dream, and his future is bright. To not pay the money back because there is a technical way to get out of it goes right to his character. He needs to be an honorable man and fulfill his obligations. Each payment he makes should remind him that he's doing the right thing. They go on a bit and then finally, when he does get them paid off, he will have a sweet sense of accomplishment because he really did move a mountain. What an opportunity. Sincerely, Delretta Sith in Downey, California.
Delretta, I appreciate what you've written. And I've had many people state sentiments similar to yours about the student loan forgiveness program. You know, I feel we've got a real problem in the United States with the student loan program, that people are in a position at an age they might not be mature enough to make a wise decision, or given a blank check to borrow nearly unlimited sums of money. And you ask people, and in fact, there was a survey recently that found that more than 80% of people who borrowed money for student loans say that they regret it and wish that they had gone to a cheaper school or not even gotten the education they got. And so I believe that the big problem with college costs and educational costs in the U.S. is the ready availability of an unlimited sum that people can borrow. I would prefer to see us totally reorient how people pay for college in the United States and eliminate this mindless, incredible pool of money that people can borrow against that you and I as taxpayers ultimately end up subsidizing the colleges with.
I had a couple of stinks about this. In a recent show, Clark told a caller that the HSA catch-up contribution of $1,000 started at age 50. This is the age of the IRA and 401k retirement account catch-ups. The age for the HSA catch-up is 55. Very minor, so no shower after treadmill stinky.
No, I'd say that's pretty stinky. And this is why I love Clark stinks, because I didn't know that it was 55 instead of 50, and now I know. So I thank both of you who posted that.
Clark, you stink worse than dirty diapers.
Oh, man. I went from not needing a big shower after the treadmill. Now I stink like dirty diapers?
Have children and then worry about paying for it later. That was one piece of advice that sounded like it came from a teenager and not a financial wizard. Would you tell me to go get a car and then worry about paying for it? Of course not. Parenting should be considered only when one is financially able. Next, you, and like many others, criticize child-free people. There's a large network of child-free people who live wonderful lives. Please don't act like we're all drunkards and selfish, immature people. I had a wonderful birthday with my child-free friends and wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm almost speechless because I would never, ever cast aspersions on anybody who has chosen not to have a child or children. And I feel that that is a completely reasonable choice for someone to make to not have children. And so when I was talking about that, I wasn't talking about me foisting a guilt trip on you or anyone else who's chosen not to have children. The point I was trying to make is that not everything in life is about money, and that children can bring a level of joy to you that is immeasurable and also bring you that same amount of heartache. And I wouldn't want someone to defer, and then later regret that they never had a child.
Mattress buying 101. About a week ago, a caller asked about buying a mattress for his guest room. Clark, I was shocked at your answer. You told him to go to Sam's Club or to buy a mattress online. I've been in the mattress industry for years with a very reputable manufacturer whom you used to recommend. We believe, as I assume that you did, that real value when purchasing a mattress is predicted on quality. The mattresses that you recommend are sorely lacking in quality and durability, and therefore are a terrible way to spend your money. If you look at the reviews on these bed-in-a-box mattresses, they are good initially, and then after a year or so, they get worse till finally people are angry at the long-term wear of their product. When it comes to mattresses, they are not all created equal. There are a plethora of poorly made mattresses in the marketplace these days, and most are very expensive. People need an education on what makes a mattress a real value before they buy. The advice that you gave was terrible.
I appreciate that very much, and I may have been too flippant in the answer I gave to that question. The individual did not seem like they were particularly concerned about the mattress that would be in that guest room, probably not used a lot over the course of a year. And I felt like I was giving as economical of advice as I could. And if I offended you with that, I apologize. And I appreciate all your posts. Please go to Clark.com, go to Clark Stinks, and let me know how I'm failing to serve you the way I should.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Caesar is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Caesar. How are you doing?
Hi, Clark. I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
I've recently received a corporate credit card from my employer. So I wanted to know if that had any impact on my credit, good or bad.
It depends. And this varies by situation. So I'm going to drill down specifically how you know where it's going to fit in your overall credit picture and your exposure.
Okay.
So a number of corporate cards do what they call piercing the veil, which means you are, if your corporation doesn't pay the bill, you are personally liable for the bill.
Right.
And do you know if you have been made personally liable?
Not too sure. I'll have to check with the finance department. There wasn't.
You really want to know that because, you know, a lot of companies can be slow pays on bills.
Right.
And if you are essentially kind of like a co-borrower on the card, if they slow pay the bill, you're the one who can end up with the late pay reflected on your credit report.
Okay.
Now, often with a corporate card, they'll want, the credit card company will want your Social Security number.
Yes.
And did they request yours?
Yes, there was an application that I had to fill out, actually.
Okay. I would ask, if you don't have a copy of that application, I would ask for a copy of what you signed your name to.
Okay.
And look at the terms and conditions, and it may hold you liable for it. Now, the upside of that is that if the bills are paid well and paid regularly and paid on time, if you need any boost to your credit score, you may well get that from having this card that both you and your employer are responsible for.
Right. And I know that they are pretty diligent with payments to the credit cards.
But I would like you just to know what your responsibility is. I have unfortunately had to deal with situations where companies went bust and employees got stuck not only with losing their jobs, but also got stuck with the unpaid balance on a corporate credit card.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll definitely get a copy of the terms and conditions to check it out.
Because you don't want to be in that situation, do you?
No, not at all.
Well, best to you, and I hope that your corporate card turns out to be one that's all benefit and no burden.
Sure will. Thank you for the time.
Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and your wallet. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you make. We are in the midst of what's considered to be a historic shortage of homes for first-time home buyers, either an individual or a family trying to buy a first home. And there are a number of factors conspiring against first-time home buyers. First is that the shortage of construction workers is gigantic. And that leads to a slower construction time frame and higher costs. Second, in many parts of the country, land in mid-size and large communities as well, has gotten to be very expensive. Third, a lot of jurisdictions around the country have put in rules, restrictions, and zoning that have discouraged or eliminated what are referred to as starter homes. So the political officials in an area in many parts of the country have become hostile to the first-time home buyer, looking at them as an unwanted expense rather than an addition that a community would welcome. And you may wonder, why would you as a first-time home buyer be considered by the local elected officials as a nuisance? Well, it has to do with many first-time home buyers buy a home at a point that they have young children maybe approaching school age. And so local governmental officials want as much as they can in many places to block children from coming into their school system because they look at you as a cost center having those children instead of part of the community and a benefit to it. So we got all these factors going on at once. And so the extreme shortage is so bad. And at the high end, in much of the country, there's a surplus of homes being built. Because builders, because of the restrictions on building lower cost homes, the cost of land, all the rest, they're choosing to build much larger than average homes at much higher than average price points, leaving you in a lurch if you're a first-time home buyer. This is a terrible problem, and it needs solutions, one of which is something that I have been all about for years, and it's alternative modern methods of construction. One is actually being used in other parts of our hemisphere, but is only doing demonstrations in the United States. And that's because a lot of jurisdictions have not been open to modern methods of construction. But there's now very attractive homes being built using advanced 3D printing with robotics involved, and a home can be built for, believe it or not, a typical new home can be built for about $30,000. That's not including the land. But the funny thing is that these homes built out of concrete are amazingly attractive, in my opinion. Others may disagree. And these homes are built in typically 4 days on site by the robotic 3D printers. And so these are not typical looking homes. They're unusual looking, but they are built very affordably. And there's additional expense, obviously, with hooking up to utilities, purchase of the land, putting in the foundation that the 3D printed home sits on. But we as a country need to start being more creative. I've long been a believer in building homes in components and factories and then putting them up with cranes on site. If you're not aware, the hotel industry in the most popular part of the hotel business, which is hotels that are between 120 and 240 rooms that are often built along interstates or in suburban communities, more and more of those are being built in factories and then trucked to the site, and the rooms are put into place by cranes one by one, and the building time is greatly reduced, the cost of building reduced by about 30%. It is not right and not fair what we're doing to people in their 20s and 30s trying to buy a first-time home in the United States. We need to treat them right. We need to be welcoming. We need to be creative. And we need to use newer methods of construction instead of methods of construction that are stuck in 1955. Jody is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Jody.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you, Jody. How may I be of service to you?
Well, I had a question about my credit bureau. Recently, I paid them through like a bill pay, and I accidentally paid them $8 less than what I owe. So it was $7.80.
You said credit bureau. Do you mean credit union?
Credit union, excuse me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and so I typed 780 instead of 788 by accident and sent it in, and the check cleared. So, I didn't even have any other thought to it because it was an accident, but apparently they wouldn't apply it to my loan because it was only a partial payment.
Wait.
Sure.
You made a clerical error and made a payment to your credit union for $780 instead of $788, and they put it into what often is called a suspense file, did not credit your payment. And is this for your mortgage?
Yes, my home mortgage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. So
you're telling me over $8, it was a simple clerical error anybody could have made, they're going to ruin your credit?
Yes, that is. Well, it's not completely ruined, but it dropped 80 points. March 5th, it was perfect, 748. And then March 12th, it was down to 652. And the reason I know this is I was in the process of buying a car, and I had no idea that this had even happened except for the fact that I was buying a car.
So nobody from the credit union ever contacted you and said, hey, by the way, you realize you paid us $8 short?
Nope, nothing.
All right, so you know who owns that credit union, don't you?
No. Mm-mm.
You do. Credit unions are co-ops owned by their members. It's not like you're dealing with some cold, distant, impersonal bank. And the way you're being treated is unacceptable and inexcusable, and I wouldn't even expect that behavior from a bank typically. Who are you dealing with? Are you dealing with customer no service at the credit union?
I guess the billing department. I went in with all the evidence of them having the check. The initial people said that they didn't see where I had paid. But when I showed them the cleared check, that somebody in fact did take my money, then it was a different story, and they had the billing department or whoever is in control of that give me a call, and she pretty much told me because of the $8 difference that I was at fault for it, and that's why that was reported to the credit agency.
All right, that is the most lame excuse for a story I think I've ever heard involving a credit union or a bank.
I agree.
All right, so what do you think you should do about it?
Well, when I was talking to that department, I said, well, if you can't help me to, get this corrected, then send me to somebody who can. And she told me that the lady already knew the story, and she gave me a phone or a address to write a dispute out. So I have to send a written
dispute. Nope. You're not going to do any of that.
Okay.
You, without realizing it, you have an opportunity each year to vote on the board of directors of your credit union, because you own this place, Jody. You are an owner.
Okay.
And you need to be treated with the respect that an owner deserves. You have an elected board of directors that you can go talk to. There are monthly or quarterly meetings, annual meetings. And, okay, our producer Joel's brilliant. He just pulled up your credit union, and there's a meeting of the board of directors in 3 days. Annual meeting held exclusively for our members and is a unique credit union event. You will be able to talk with the chairman of the board. You'll be able to talk with the vice chairman. You'll be able to talk with the leaders of the credit union that they appoint. And I guarantee you, if you go to that meeting, you will solve this problem.
Okay.
And I also see here the name right on the website. I see the name of the CEO of your credit union. They're all listed right on your credit union site.
Okay.
So go to the meeting. Closer. Don't deal with the bureaucrats anymore. Tell them what happened and tell them that's why I'm at a credit union in the first place, because I would expect to be treated better than at a bank.
Okay.
And I want to hear back from you, Jody, after you go through that process, because that is ridiculous. They can remove that item from collection. It never should have gone to collection. The people who are behaving that way need to go through credit union re-education camp, because they probably are all refugees who used to work in banks and think they're supposed to treat you like dirt, which they're not supposed to do.
Okay. All right. I surely will let you know what happens. I'm definitely going to go, and thank you for looking that up for me. And
fire up, Jody. Represent yourself. And you go in there with the names of all the members of the board. They'll probably have name tags on. You can go up and say, oh, I've been looking for you. I saw you're one of our elected leaders. I need your help. Okay?
Okay.
And you'll get their help.
Okay.
All right, Jody. Stand up for yourself. Because remember, you own the place. Wow. I cannot believe I had to take that kind of complaint call about my beloved credit unions. Ralph is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Ralph, you have a Toys R Us question for me.
Oh, yes, I do, Clark. And how are you?
Great, thank you. Are you a Toys R Us kid?
Yeah, I'm a big Toys R Us kid. So is my two-year-old. So I have the question I have for you.
Wait. You let your two-year-old be a Toys R Us kid?
Yes.
Do you know, till my kids were 5 years old, they all thought the only toy store that existed was Dollar Tree?
Well, I'm new to your show, and I really do appreciate all the things you do for us. So I was shopping at Toys R Us, and I did open up a Toys R Us credit card, unfortunately.
Is there a credit card? Is it a Visa or MasterCard, or is it a Toys R Us only card?
Yes. Yes, it's a Visa.
Okay, that's likely going to be good news for you.
Okay, good.
Are you worried that you're going to foul up your credit now because of them going out of business?
Correct.
Ah, okay. All right, let me tell you what's likely to happen. The issuer of those cards is not going to want to lose the customers that they acquired through the joint venture with Toys R Us. And they will probably offer you an alternative rewards card of some kind.
Okay, perfect.
It would be very, very unlikely and unusual that they, having gone to the enormous expense of being in the joint venture with Toys R Us, would decide, we're just going to can all these people we spent all that money to get. Because it costs a bank enormous funds to acquire each, it sounds so bad. I'm talking about you like you're an inanimate object. But to get each credit card customer can cost a credit card company up to $400 in marketing and sales expenses. So they're not just going to throw you out. They'd be crazy to.
Okay, because I haven't received anything yet, but that doesn't mean.
It'll be a while. And I would think with near certainty, they'll offer you a replacement card, and then you want that because that'll leave your credit no loss, no gain, and it should work out fine for you. Vicki is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Clark. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Well, first of all, you are my guru. I've learned so much from you. And
thank you.
I want to tell you what I've done so far. I've frozen my credit.
Right.
I bought a Chromebook and used and refurbished, of course. I created a new Gmail account so I could log on to banking and investments. But here's my question. Should I continue to use my laptop for bank and investment emails like notifications of bill pay and statements?
Okay, so any emails... You don't ever open emails on the Chromebook.
Okay.
And
now, Oh, sorry.
And so use the Chromebook. The basics of what you use the Chromebook for are banking, brokerage, and bill pay.
Right.
And there are
okay.
some things you can stretch it a little bit further with, but you just want to remember anything, any other activity you're doing, you just do on your regular computer.
Okay. Now, I'm thinking of opening up an online bank savings account. Is it okay to fill out all that application stuff on the Chromebook?
Yes.
Okay. I will do that. And I know you always say no browsing on the Chromebook, but can I access clark.com on it?
Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm a very dangerous man. No. No, you don't do any normal web browsing
okay.
on the financial Chromebook.
All right.
So I'm relegated to your other computer.
Okay.
And don't let me infest or invade your financial computer.
Is it safe to use my phone banking app to deposit checks?
100%.
Okay.
I really like those.
Terrific. Thanks, Clark. I love your show.
Thank you. Have a great day. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast of our show, I'd love it if you'd subscribe. Whatever your favorite podcast app is, we're pretty much there. And whether you love what you hear from me or hate it, take time to write a review. It's how we all learn from each other, is from those reviews.